Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
This morning, as we continue walking through the book of Luke in our series we've titled True Fiction, we're going to see a message titled A Mother's Prayer. This morning, we're going to look at four verses. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke in chapter number 11. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there should be one in the pew rack there in front of you. I'd invite you to follow along. We're going to study a passage we left last week off with Mary and Martha, Jesus speaking to them. And we're going to study a passage that is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I generally call it the model prayer. Either way, it's all right, but it's 58 words that Jesus spoke to teach his disciples to pray. A 58-word prayer that Jesus taught. Since it's Mother's Day, we're going to make some applications for how a mom can pray for her children. But the truth is that every point that we look at today are things that all of us should be praying for, whether we're a mom or parents or not. I want to show you 10 prayers embedded in this 58-word prayer, this model prayer. Some things that you might incorporate into your own prayer life, and if you keep a prayer journal or a prayer list, some things you might consider praying about on a daily basis. And you may want to write some of these things down today. And as I said, this prayer list, these prayers are not just for moms today. These will be good for dads to pray and grandparents, teenagers and young adults, singles. Every person here should be praying these things for their own lives and for the lives of those that they love. Let's look at the first four verses of Luke chapter number 11. Luke 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. By the way, the fact that the Son of God, Jesus, had a discipline, if you will, of prayer, if he needed to take time away from the crowds and away from his work to commune with his heavenly Father, how much more do you think we ought to be people of prayer? We see Jesus here. It says that it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, had taught his followers how to pray. He said, they know how to pray. We want to learn how to pray. We see you praying all of the time. How should we pray? Jesus answers in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, would you read this all the way down through the end of verse number 4, starting with Our Father? Let's read it aloud together this morning. Ready? Begin. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some of you maybe have recited or memorized the Lord's Prayer, and very likely you read that and say, it sounds a little off. It's not what I remember. The one you're probably thinking of is found in the book of Matthew from the Sermon on the Mount. And there are two different times where Jesus uses a little variation of the model prayer, teaching his disciples how they ought to pray. I want to make it clear this morning, Jesus is not saying here, when you pray, these are the exact words you must say every time that you pray. My dad and stepmom, who live in Florida, they've been a part of Alcoholics Anonymous since they were early 20s. They've been sober for a little over 40 years. And growing up, when I would visit them in San Diego, I can remember many times going to AA meetings with them. And if my memory serves me correctly, I think just about, if not every meeting at the end, they would close the meeting and they would often stand together holding hands and they would recite the Lord's Prayer. Before I ever read it in the Bible, I began to memorize it because of going to those AA meetings, waiting for my dad and stepmom to finish and hearing them pray those at the end. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I want to make it clear. I think sometimes we kind of just think, well, I say my Our Fathers, and we just have these religious rituals where we say these words. Jesus is not saying every time that you pray, say these 58 words. Jesus, he's not giving us a script to repeat mindlessly, but a pattern to pray meaningfully. He wants us to learn to pray, and he gives us some things that ought to be a part of our prayer lives. So moms, dads, grandparents, young adults, teens, singles, single parents, how should we pray? I want to give you these 10 prayers that we see in the model prayer this morning. Number one, I see, how should we pray? A mother's prayer. How should we pray? Number one, pray for growth. Pray for growth. Do you see what the disciples said? Before we get into the model prayer, what do we learn from the words of the disciples? Lord, what are the next two words? Lord, teach us. Teach us. What does that communicate? The disciples had an understanding that they had some room to grow. They had some things to learn. They had not arrived. The ones who were the closest to Christ, who were literally personally called and commissioned, who walked with him every step of the way, who had seen miracles done, who had been part of miracles being done. They had seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've been a part of these things. They've preached the truth. Those that were the closest to Jesus understood what? That they had not arrived in their Christian life. What a great example. Lord, teach us to pray. Paul realized he had not arrived. What did he say? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark. What does it take to have a heart that realizes I need to grow? It takes humility. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If there's areas of your Christian life that you're not as strong as you'd like to be, and areas that you know you struggle, and areas that maybe are not, what should be our posture? What should be our heart? Lord, a prayer for growth. Would you give me wisdom? Lord, teach us. When we open God's word on our own on a daily basis, what should be our prayer? Lord, teach us. When we come to church, what should be our prayer? Lord, teach us. Teenagers, when you go to youth group, what should be your prayer? Lord, teach us a prayer for growth. Let's pray that our children will stay humble enough to realize their need for spiritual growth in their lives and continue to pursue it. It's been said the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. All of us have room to grow, don't we? Lord, teach us. If you have children, Lord, help them to grow. Don't lose your desire to grow in grace. And then the first word of the model prayer, it's a pronoun, a plural possessive pronoun that it says, our. What is that? I apply that as a prayer. We ought to pray for salvation. Our Father, not my Father. How do we apply this? That he is ours, and my prayer as a parent, that's been the prayer for all five of our children that God has blessed Tiffany and me with. Lord, help you. You are my God. I don't just want you to be my God for our family. I want you to be our God. Pray for salvation. Pray that they would come to know Christ. Before our children were born, I prayed this prayer. The day they were born, as I held them in the hospital, I prayed this prayer. Lord, help this young person, this little baby girl and this little baby boy, as they grow and they understand scripture. And as we saw with River, as they get old enough to understand right and wrong and the fact that you died for them, help them to make a decision to accept Christ as their Savior. God, I don't just want you to be my God. I want you to be our God. Would you help our children to come to a place where they choose to make you their God? Pray for the salvation of your kids, of your grandkids, of your friends, of your loved ones. Pray that your family and your friend group will be able to say, our Father, which leads us to the next word and the next prayer request. Not just to pray, we should pray for growth and pray for salvation, but next I see here, we ought to pray for relationship. What's the next word? Our what? Father. Really, shouldn't be very many closer or more loving relationships in our lives. Now, I realize in this fallen world that we live in, we all have different family dynamics. And you know my story. I was raised by a single mom, and then my mom got married, and I had a stepdad, and then that was an abusive relationship. And I still have a good relationship with my father, my biological father today. But I understand that that's not always the healthiest. But the idea, God's plan is that that relationship between a father and a child be one of closeness, of deep love. And Jesus, he didn't say, when you go to pray, say, our dictator. Our prison guard that's keeping us in prison and it's the worst life in the world. He said, our boss, our CEO. No, our Father. Relationship. What should we pray? We should pray that our children and ourselves and our loved ones have a close, personal relationship with God. He desires to have that, by the way. Beautiful reminder that he invites us into his family. And if he is not your God, if he is not your Father, if he is not your Savior, today could be the day that you put your faith and trust in Christ alone. And you too, like me, can say, Our Father, not because of your goodness or mine, but because of his love and his mercy and his grace. Oh no, he is not one that that is a drill sergeant whipping us into shape through fear or punishment. He is our Father. For many, many years now, I've had a threefold prayer, a daily prayer for our children, a threefold prayer where I've prayed, God, my prayer for our five children is that they would come to know you, that they would know God, that they would come to love you, and that they would live for you for a lifetime. That they would come to know you, salvation. That then they would come to love you. Not just fire insurance, if you will, just get out of hell free card. No, a personal relationship. I don't just want our children to see, well, that's my dad's God. That's what my mom and dad have chosen. I want them to choose to love him for themselves, that they would know God, salvation, that they would love God, relationship, that they would live for God for a lifetime, surrender. And for us parents, the goal in parenting isn't simply behavior modification. It is heart transformation. And the reality is we cannot transform a heart. We cannot make those choices for our loved ones, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our parents, for our aunts and uncles. We cannot choose that, but we can pray that God would get a hold of their hearts. We can show them the love of Christ that we have received in our own lives. We can be a testimony before them and ask God, as Elizabeth Newton, those prayers that followed her boy that she never got to see the answer to. We can pray, God, would they build a relationship with you? I know if you're here today, you're like Tiffany and me. We don't just want our kids growing up in a Christian culture. We want them to fall in love with Christ. We don't just want them attending a Christian school 5 days a week, learning from Christian teachers and sitting next to other Christians. We want them to come to know and love Christ for themselves. The goal for us is not Christians who exist in a Christian ecosystem, but committed Christians who embrace Christ for themselves. A prayer for relationship, our Father. Would they come to know and love you the way that I've come to know and love you? Number four, how many of you are being honest? You got scared when I said 10 prayers embedded in this prayer. We're moving along pretty well, aren't we? You never know which point could be the longest though, so. Number four, pray for reverence. If I'm being honest, this is the longest point right here, all right? Just a spoiler alert, the rest of them go pretty quick. Pray for reverence. Our Father, which art in heaven, an understanding he's above us, hallowed, sanctified, set apart be thy name. It's a great reverence of who he is in his name, a great respect. You're in heaven and we're on earth. You're perfect and we're imperfect. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Master of the universe. You're the Creator. You're our Savior. You're our Messiah. A great reverence, a great respect. I fear in modern society today, we have lost our respect and reverence and fear of God. We have lost that in our, and the name of God is nothing more than a curse word for many. The name of Jesus Christ is nothing more than to say when you get angry or upset at something, and it's something that we mock at and we laugh at and we don't take it seriously. We've lost our respect and our reverence for the God of the universe. We've lost a proper view of God, and we wonder why young people often live like animals, doing whatever seems right in their own eyes. We've lost our fear of God. The Bible speaks much of the fear of God. And when the Bible speaks of the fear of God, it's not speaking of someone cowering in a corner and terrified that they're going to be hurt by this one and trying to hide from them. No, that word, whenever you read the Bible where it's talking about the fear of God, it almost always is speaking of the great reverential love, reverence, respect. He's high and lifted up. We have a proper view of who he is. John the Baptist said, he must, of Jesus, he must increase. I must decrease. I want to have a proper place in my relationship with my Messiah. But we've lost that reverence. And as a result, we've become far too casual in our lives that we live for God. We've made God into our image rather than letting God conform us into his image. I would encourage you to go online, Bible Gateway or other free Bible softwares, and just type in the phrase, the fear of God, and you'll see about 125 different passages, verses in Scripture that bring that phrase up, and read what it says that the fear of God does in our lives. What did the wisest man in the world, Solomon, have to say about this subject of a proper respect and reverence and fear of God? He said in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the what, church? Is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's the starting point. A proper view of who God is the starting point of really knowing what this life is all about and what your purpose is and why we're here and how to live. The fear of the Lord, a proper respect and reverence is the starting point. He said in Proverbs chapter number 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge is what we know. Wisdom is how we apply what we know. Somebody said one time, knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Kids, you know that, right? Because it has seeds. Knowledge is knowing tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to apply that knowledge, to use it in wise ways, to make wise decisions. And what does God say? The beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, it starts with a proper love, respect, and reverence for who God is. It's interesting, in the day and age in which we live, we want our kids to get every educational opportunity and every head start, don't we? We put them in all kinds of programs. We pay for private education. We hire tutors. We desire to see them get into prestigious colleges. Parents, may I just say, be very careful. It's nothing wrong. We have a private school here that people pay out. We pay to send our students to. But if we're not careful, we think book knowledge is the highest priority. May I say Bible knowledge is the highest priority. A love for God, a respect and reverence of God and who he is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Without it, we'll never live the lives we should live. If your child or mine makes it into the most prestigious university, but never learns a proper reverence for God that changes the way that he or she lives, we have missed one of the most vital parts of parenting. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If your child is financially successful, buys a nice home, lives a comfortable life, but never acknowledges who God is, he or she has wasted much of their lives. Far more important than academic achievement is spiritual growth. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Isaiah, the prophet, got a glimpse of God, and what did it lead him to? It led him to deep humility, deep reverence. It says in Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I got a view of who God was, and what happened when he got a view of who God was? In verse number 5, it says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Most of us get lifted up in pride and say, look at me. Isaiah got brought down in humility and said, woe is me. When we get a proper view of who God is, it gives us a proper view of who we are. And then we can live a life based on the knowledge of the holy. We can live a life of understanding and of wisdom. We can live a life of purpose and of pleasing to the God of the universe. When we get a proper view of God, we get a proper view of ourselves. And a proper reverence and respect of God will lead us to live holy, clean, pleasing lives before him. Pray. If you have children, whether young, teens, adults, pray for your child to fear God. We teach kids to fear failing grades, to fear missed opportunities, to fear disappointing people, but rarely do we teach them to fear the Lord. Number 5, how should we pray, moms, dads, young people? Pray for purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray that your children will live in light of eternity. My life exists. I was created for his pleasure. I was created for his purposes. Pray for yourself that you'll live a life of eternal purpose, of eternal impact. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Are your dreams for your children simply that they will fulfill your dreams or God's will? Is your greatest desire that they will have financial success, business accolades, educational degrees? Again, nothing wrong with any of those. We had the privilege on Friday to be at our second son's college graduation. There's nothing wrong with an educational degree. But if they're not used to impact the kingdom of God, those things of business success and financial accolades and degrees can become idols that will destroy our children. Pray that your children will get a glimpse of the eternal purpose that God has for them in their lives. Our lives are far more important than any pleasure we can have, the possessions we can accumulate, the power that we can attain. Teach your children to live every day with this prayer: Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Help me to live with a heavenly mindset. As in heaven, so on earth. Help me to use my resources to impact and make a difference for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. As in heaven, so on earth. Number 6, pray for provision. Give us, day by day, our daily bread. I don't have to go into this. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but the Christian life's a daily life, isn't it? We need daily grace. We need daily strength. We need daily manna. His mercies are new every morning. And pray. Pray for provision. Pray that God would meet the needs. And sometimes, parents, sometimes we can help meet needs, and sometimes it's good for us not to meet needs, to help our children to learn to depend on God, even if we could. And I'm talking now probably more about older children, but even younger children, we don't give them everything that they want. Why? Because it's good for them to learn to depend on God, to understand where provision comes from, to understand those things. This is why for our family, for as long as I can remember, we've made a habit when we sit down for a meal, we stop and we say, blessing, and we stop and say grace, whatever you want to call it. Why? We almost always, when I do that, I'll pray, God, thank you for providing this meal. Why? One, I want to remember that it's God that is our provision. It's God that gives us the power to get wealth. I'm not a self-made man. Oh no, it's God that meets our needs. And I want our children to remember, this is the one you depend on. Depend on God for your sustenance and for your provision. I want our children to know where it comes from. Number 7, pray for holiness, and forgive us our sins. What is that? You don't pray that prayer unless you acknowledge where you're struggling, where you've offended God and his law, where you've sinned against God. This is, you bring your sin into the light. You don't keep it covered in the darkness. God, I'm acknowledging that I've sinned, and I want to please you with my life. I want your forgiveness. Would you help me to walk in the light and not in the dark? This is a prayer. God, help me to be more like you. A prayer for holiness. Pray that your child will have a sensitivity to the sins they commit. If not, we'll grow hardened to sin and get used to its power and presence in our lives. No, God, we acknowledge that we have sinned before you. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to walk in holiness. Pray that your child will bring their sin into the light rather than covering it and keeping it in the dark. You cannot ask for forgiveness if you're not willing to admit that you've committed those sins. A daily acknowledgement in our prayer of the sins we've committed, not to live in condemnation, but to get it out. And God, I'm sorry for the ways that I've transgressed against your law. And today I want to walk in ways that are pleasing to you. The model prayer included, he's said, forgive us our sins. Would you help us to live in light of those things? What does it say in 1 John? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that you don't have to live in the condemnation and the guilt of the sins that you've committed? No, that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. You can, if you confess your sins, you don't have to live in condemnation. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in shame. Jesus came to nail those things to the cross, but we have to acknowledge them. Pray for holiness for your children. Pray for holiness for yourself. An acknowledgement of where we struggle and a dependence on God to help us. The Bible says, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know, it's interesting. Job, who the Bible says at the time was really the most godly man on earth. The one that pleased God with his life the most. And there's an interesting little verse that tells his story before he loses everything. He had 10 adult children. And Job chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says this, and it was so the days of their feasting. They would go to each other's homes, his adult children, and feast. They were very rich, very wealthy a family, really the richest family on earth at the time. It says that Job sent and sanctified them. Look what he says. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He got before God on behalf of every one of his adult children. For Job said, look what he says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God. Where, church? In their hearts. He didn't even know where they were struggling. But he said it might be they're having some spiritual struggles inside. God, what was it? It was a daily, and it says, thus did Job continually. It was a daily prayer. God, would you keep my children's hearts close to you? Would you keep them clean? God, would you keep sin away from them? Would you keep them away from sin? God, would you sanctify their hearts? God, would you set them apart for your glory? God, I can't control my adult children, but I pray, God, that they would pursue holiness on their own. And God, where they're struggling and where they've cursed you and where they've walked away from you, maybe not even physically, but in their own hearts, God, I pray. Thus did Job continually. It's a great reminder. Tiffany and I are learning this as our children, the first three, have now left the home on some level. Seems like maybe they're sometimes coming back, but they leave at least for a short period. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And then they come back and eat all your food again. And we're glad to have them back when they come back. At least one of them has left, it seems, for quite a while. She moved to Colorado with some guy, married her last summer. I forgot his name. No, I didn't. Shane, if they're watching, we love you, Shane. You pray for them. Supposed to have a baby somewhere in the next 2 weeks. But you know, Tiffany and I are learning, your responsibility to pray for your children doesn't end when they leave your house. Pray for holiness. Number 8, pray for tender hearts. What does he say? The next verse, he says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Pray that God will keep your children from bitterness. By the way, I told you this isn't just for a mom. I'm applying it to moms because it's Mother's Day. But pray that God would keep your heart from bitterness, from anger, from cynicism. He said here, he didn't say we forgive some of those that are indebted to us. He said we forgive everyone who's indebted to us. How do you forgive those that have hurt you? Paul told us in Ephesians chapter number 4, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How do you forgive? You keep a tender heart. How do you forgive? You remember the forgiveness you've received. Isn't it interesting in the model prayer? What was the first prayer? Forgive us our sins. Once I realize that I've sinned before God and I've been forgiven, I am much more likely to then extend forgiveness, to extend grace to someone that's hurt me. I don't think it's a coincidence, the order of the model prayer, that he said we pray first for forgiveness for ourselves, and then we pray, God, give me the strength to forgive everyone, not some, everyone that I've got on the list that owes me something, everyone that has done something against me. I want to forgive. And when we remember how we've been forgiven, we can then offer forgiveness. Number 9, pray for wisdom. And lead us not into temptation. God, by the way, God, the Bible tells us that God doesn't tempt us to sin. Sin comes from our own lusts. Sin comes from the sinful aspects of culture. Sin comes from Satan himself, the world, the flesh, the devil. That's where all temptation, sinful temptation comes from. But the Bible tells us here, we can pray, God, would you keep us from those temptations? Would you keep me away from those things? Help us not to go down a wrong path that we can't see that you can. And pray for wisdom. God, keep my children away from temptations. And when they're faced with them, give them the wisdom to make the right choices. Keep them from those things that tempt and try them. These last two are preventative prayers, not reactive prayers. God, would you keep us from temptation? Before we get there, would you deliver us from evil? Number 10, the last prayer, pray for protection. Deliver us from evil. This is a good prayer to pray daily. God, keep us from evil. And when we find ourselves struggling in the realities of this evil world, would you deliver us from that evil? Lord, teach us to pray. You know what that shows me? Shows me that even for the people that were the closest to Jesus on this earth, it's not natural to know how to pray. I don't know about you. Prayer is one of the hardest things in the Christian life for me. Bible reading is easier than prayer for me. I think because I can see it. It's right there. I know, like, there's something to put my hands on. Prayer takes a whole lot of faith because we're believing what we can't see. We're praying to one that we know is real in our lives, but we can't touch. Lord, teach us. If you struggle to pray, if you struggle in any area of your Christian life, don't feel badly. Don't beat yourself up. Keep growing. Lord, we need to grow. We need to learn. Teach us to pray. It shows it's not natural for us to know how to pray as we should, but oh, we should pray. And if we have children, how much should we pray for them? If you're a parent here this morning, I want you to imagine your child walking out of your home at age 18, carrying a backpack that you can't see. And every prayer you pray becomes something you quietly place inside of that backpack that they'll carry with them for the rest of their lives. All these prayers you pray don't disappear when your child leaves home. They go with them. Elizabeth Newton never saw her son preach. She never received a letter that said, "Mom, I'm a Christian." She never heard "Amazing Grace." But when her 23-year-old son was in the middle of the storm, the prayers she had prayed before she went to heaven were still with him. He didn't call it a backpack. He called it "Amazing Grace." He couldn't escape. Every one of our children will find themselves in storms that we can't save them from. May our prayers that we've prayed and that we pray be the lighthouse they need to guide them safely to shore where they can plant their feet upon the rock of ages.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.